Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you all today. I have a wonderful pleasure, just a beautiful gift of having Father Cal Christensen on with me today. Father, it's great to see you.
Well, it is great to see you, Tom. It has been quite a while. And I have to say, you look the exact same as you did the last time I saw you. I don't know how you do it.
Father, are you in sales? I mean, come on now. You got to be in sales a little bit here. That's really good. I like that. Yeah. Or you're a politician. You're a politician. One or the other. Well,
actually, we might not want to get into politics right about now, Tom. That might not be the best thing.
Actually, Father, we're going to talk about actually the power and importance of anniversaries and a really neat anniversary that is coming up for an important movement in the life of the church, the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in Western Washington. And so we're going to launch off from that theme to cover many things. So I'm super excited to do that with you today. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. All right, Father Cal, as we get started today, would you be open to leading us with a prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, good and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise today for this wonderful opportunity to come together and to share our experiences and the fruits of the charismatic renewal within our lives and in the life of the church. We ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit to be upon us today, and may we be open vessels of your grace and love and mercy today. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Father Cal. So today we've got lots to cover, and the overarching theme is this 47th anniversary of the renewal, blooming and blossoming in Western Washington in the Archdiocese of Seattle, and just again, lots to cover there. I want to start with the theme of journey, and the reason I mentioned that, Father Cal, like you mentioned, gosh, we haven't seen each other in years, and yeah, it's true. The journey of faith that the Lord led Carrie and me, my wife and I, on, it was to move our family to Eastern Washington. That was 5.5 years ago. And recently I took a journey, Father. I walked the Camino. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah. So that sort of 500-mile journey across Northern Spain. And it was really something, the way that putting a focus on, okay, I'm intentionally walking this path in order to reach this goal as a sign of my fidelity as a pilgrim heading towards the Lord. And I'm going to undertake a variety of penances and focus on prayer to strip down my life so that I can honor him, right? It was a huge blessing to be able to do that, right? To be able to have what I call gracious disruption. That's a... Mm. Yeah. Do you want to go now, Father Cal? Are you ready to go? Is that on your bucket list? Your holy bucket list?
Absolutely. Well, I've done a section of it. We did about 120 kilometers or so a few years ago, the Camino Francés. And that was fabulous. But that said, I would love to go back one day and kind of do the entire section beginning in France, of course. And that is on my bucket list, but I'm a busy pastor after all.
Hey, you're not going to flex that on me, because I am a husband and father of 9 kiddos. So, now you've got more in your family of faith, but maybe next summer, Father, you discern it. So it sounds like you did the Syria Did you start in Sharia and do that? Or...
Correct. That's
Yes.
exactly right. Yeah, Sharia. That's sort of the minimalist starting place, right? For those who, because I think you have to get at least 100, 120 kilometers or so to get the Concha and Santiago, and we got that. And but yeah, that was just beautiful going through, Galicia, and again, yeah, that sense of journey. I mean, certainly was. A narrower period of time for us, but I think it was enough time to really sort of encapsulate, for myself and those I was journeying with, an opportunity to be on a pilgrimage. I think it was that sense of historicity, to know just, I mean, how many countless millions of feet, over the centuries, have trod, that path. And so there's that sense of solidarity with them, and of course with all the people that you run into every day. But just that sense of a pilgrimage, and how that sort of encapsulates ultimately the pilgrimage of our lives, right? Going through this this world, this life, and ultimately arriving at that heavenly destination, our hope, right? Our great hope.
Amen. Well, and Father Cal, that's why I bring this up is that like I think about the first time that we met, I believe was it was well we were together was you had me come and speak at it was in Montlake Terrace, I believe, at St. Pius the 10th, is that right?
I think great guess. I think you might have been there at Motley Terrace, but if memory serves, Tom, I think it might even go back a couple of years prior to that when I was at St. Rose in Longview.
Oh, that's right.
I think it was down there.
Yes.
And you came and led a, it was either an Advent or a Lenten retreat. I can't forget. I can't remember exactly which, but I do remember it. And of course, a full house. It was an epic moment.
That's amazing. I love this. So we'd see this is part of what I wanted to talk to you about is this idea of on a journey, we have those like starting points, right? And then the Lord moves us forward through the years, and there are different stages. And it's so important to think back and remember, like, this is where we've come from. So, Father, here we are, and it's the 47th anniversary of Western Washington Catholic Charismatic Renewal, just an important movement in the life of the church. But I'd love to track this back in terms of like, let's talk about it. Moments of anniversary or significant moments in your life associated with the renewal. And so I also celebrated an anniversary on November 1st. It was my 40th anniversary of baptism in the Holy Spirit. It was November 1st, 1984. And so these are themes that I want to explore with you. So here we are. You're going to be the presider and presenting at this beautiful anniversary event coming up on this Saturday, the 16th of November at All Saints in Puyallup. It's called Be Aglow with the Spirit. But let's go back to the beginning before we get you glowing for this Saturday, Father. Let's talk about your past. Where's your launching pad? Where's your launching point for the invitation to encounter a deeper release of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment with the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, however you want to call about it. How did that end up coming close to your life?
Oh my gosh, what a great question. So many different launching points, but I would say the big bang for me, in terms of the renewal, I think certainly was in high school for me. I think many people know I was born in Canada, Manitoba, great province of Manitoba. And so we moved to the Northwest when I was about 10 years old or so. And I was raised in an Episcopalian household. So of course that's the closest, a Protestant church to Catholicism. I think that I remember we call ourselves liberated Catholics, Catholicism without the magisterium and without the Pope, so I don't know how that works. But anyways, and so, but it was really interesting through, I think two very important moments in high school. I began to move towards Catholicism, the Lord, the Holy Spirit definitely attracting me, moving me on that journey. I love this topic, of journey. And, one, I think in a more practical, maybe more of a pragmatic reason was through the a local youth group. So that I was raised in a very small Episcopalian church youth group. I think we had a total of three in our group, and the Catholic, this is in Sequim, by the way, at St. Joseph's in Sequim, had a very large, vibrant a youth group, and so I began to be part of that through some mutual friends and just part of the activities within that youth group. But more to the point of the topic today is the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, and began to be involved in the St. Joseph Healing Ministry, which is still happening out on the peninsula, and it's amazing. And my godparents, who have both passed, Art and Lucetta Halls, were two very important individuals who helped guide me into the faith. And so my parents, my mom especially, and myself began to be involved in the St. Joseph Healing Ministry. And because at that time there was allowing Episcopalians and I think some Lutherans in that ministry. It's very sort of ecumenical at that time. And so just kind of as an outsider looking in, being part of this amazing ministry, just kind of beginning to see, well, all this is happening within the Catholic Church, and I'm not seeing that happening within my own congregation. And then, slowly kind of moving into the wider world of the charismatic renewal, the the big annual conventions that used to happen down at the convention center at the Tacoma Dome. There's thousands of people at that time, and so much energy. And it was at that time that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I was about maybe 14 or 15 years old or so. I'd say about 15. And that was as a non-Catholic. And that was, I think, the big bang. That was an encounter with God that cannot be denied. that is a pivotal moment, I think, in the life of anyone who has that happen to them in a very authentic way. And for me, that very authentic, and it began a process. And I would say within a year or two, I had, seeking entry into the Catholic Church, and I was received into the Catholic Church when I was about 16. I think I was a junior in high school, and I mean, another topic, but there's also the seeds of a vocation in there as well. But more to the point, the charismatic renewal was ultimately kind of that big bang that began this journey into the Catholic faith.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. That's amazing. Again, I'm talking with Father Cal Christensen. Father Cal is the pastor of St. Martin of Tours. And actually, the day that we're recording this is the feast of St. Martin of Tours. And so on this busy day, Father, I appreciate you doing that. You're also the pastor of All Saints Parish, as well as Sacred Heart. And you head up the Holy Rosary Bilingual Academy and All Saints School. So no wonder you can't walk the Camino. You're too busy going up and down I-5. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. That's amazing, Father. So yeah, you've become a juggler, not only in parishes, but also in languages. I know you're very gifted in Spanish. And so the ability to be able to use that. It's so interesting. That's sort of a particular version of, let's call it, the gift of tongues, the anointing of being able to have a sensitivity to language and being able to fruitfully use that in ministry. That's
Amen.
A really powerful thing. So Father, I love to hear that. It would seem to me that many Catholics who have been touched by the renewal and, or let's say, touched by the Lord through the renewal, who have come into a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit through the renewal, come into a greater sense of vocation and mission. And you just yourself giving this wonderful testimony about that. I think that that's something that many Catholics don't really appreciate so much, that if I struggle to know who I am, if I struggle to know how the Lord is calling me and empowering me to fulfill that call, that the charismatic renewal can be an immense gift to help Catholics grow in both of those dimensions of our life of faith. How would you say that to the folks who are listening who maybe haven't really considered the Catholic charismatic renewal as a movement that might help advance their growth in holiness and growth in mission?
No, great question, Tom. Yeah, I think, again, coming from my own experience, I think for me that the charismatic renewal, I think it provides in some ways, the missing link, to within our faith. We need sound doctrine, absolutely. We need the magisterial teachings of the church. We need that hierarchical church. We need dogma, we need structure. But if all we have is dogma and structure, I think it's a faith. It's certainly a valid faith, there's no question about it, but it's not the fullness of the faith. And why do I say that? Of course, the Catholic faith is the fullness of the faith. So I'm talking about it's not quite the fullness of the faith within the fullness of the faith. So kind of bear with me when I as I kind of unpack that. I think what I mean is that as Catholics, we need to have a sound pneumatology, right? There needs
Oh, Father,
to
you had
be
me at pneumatology. I love that. Get, run,
a
run, run with that word. I love it.
absolutely. And of course, like pneuma is coming, the Greek word for spirit, and pneumatology, the study of the spirit. And but more to the point, it's not just studying the Holy Spirit, but it's really opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit. And I think the best way to maybe unpack that is to use the example of two, very important pillars of our faith, Saint Peter and Saint Paul. I think St. Peter and St. Paul, we celebrate them both together, what, on June 29th, if memory serves, the feast day, because those are two crucial pillars of the church that we need. And if we don't have those two dimensions, it's really, again, a kind of incomplete faith within the fullness of the faith. And again, I say that because Peter, of course, representing the rock, right? The rock, the foundation. I mean, any of us who have been to St. Peter's know exactly, what I'm talking about. I mean, how many tons, does this great basilica weigh? I mean, it's a structure that is certainly going to be there, up until the day when Christ comes again, But I think everything that is encapsulated within this massive structure, this solid structure. And so, of course, the magisterium, the Pope, the office of the Pope, the 2,000 years and the magisterium and that church, right? That the gates of hell should not prevail against it. But then there's also Saint Paul. Who could have, in their wildest dreams, anticipated Saint Paul? It certainly was not part of the plan of Peter, of Matthew, of the apostles, of the early Christian community. St. Paul was a surprise. St. Paul was a pneumatological moment within the life of the church. I mean, Christological, absolutely, but that sense of surprise, that sense of the unexpected, the unplanned. Of course, missionary, absolutely, but I guess I'm just talking about that unplanned dimension, right? And a life that's open to that, and everything that came into the church. I mean, look at what, I mean, you and I are ultimately talking here because Jesus appeared to Saint Paul on his way to Damascus, right? The Council of Jerusalem, the inclusion of the Gentiles, all of that. And so for me, what that means personally is within my own life as a Christian man, as a priest, as a pastor, I really need to strive to give equal weight to both of those, to the structure, the magisterium, dogma, the institution. But there also needs to be an openness to the movement of the Spirit. And that is exactly where the charismatic renewal, I think, has been beneficial for me and for countless millions as well, in living that balanced life of the spirit and the institution.
I love what you just said there, Father, just finishing it up. Again, I'm talking with Father Cal Christensen. Father Cal is going to be the celebrant and homilist at this Saturday's 47th anniversary event for the Western Washington Catholic Charismatic Renewal Movement in Western Washington. It's called Be Aglow with the Spirit. That comes from Romans 12, 9 to 11, and it's at All Saints Church in Puyallup. The event is free of charge. There will be an offering taken. And then there's dessert and fellowship afterwards. So the event begins at 12:30, praise and worship, with and then mass is at 1 o'clock, and then that'll be followed by dessert and fellowship. A beautiful chance to come together to fellowship in faith around the gift of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and to come to maybe learn more for yourselves how to link together what Father Cal was talking about. How does theology touch holiness? How does the institution touch the vibrant reality of the spirit in our lives? Sometimes it's too easy for us to focus just on memorizing doctrines or even following a moral path without realizing that apart from the gift of the spirit, this just becomes a human task where we're bound to fail. And you know, if, Father, it's interesting. So, you know, this program airs the day after the feast of Saint Martin of Tours, and here you are, the pastor among many several parishes, Saint Martin of Tours, a man who was filled with the Spirit and who engaged in spiritual battle, right? So, when I think, Father, about one of the sensitivities that comes alive as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is a greater sense of awareness and engagement in the invisible realm that involves not only moving in the gifts of the spirit, but also involves spiritual warfare, spiritual training, spiritual a vision of heaven as the goal of our journey on earth, right? Talk a bit about that, the way that the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, your engagement with the renewal helps to keep vibrant and vital in your own awareness this spiritual dimension.
Yeah, no, it's such a great question. Yeah, absolutely. I think the gift of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts that we receive, the charismatic gifts that we receive, certainly don't just propel us into being involved in a prayer group as such. I mean, it's fantastic when that happens, and we need those base communities, and we can maybe talk about that a little bit later in terms of ecclesial movements. But more to the point, it really unlocks a whole new way of living the Christian life, and I think you're really kind of or speaking to that, and it's something that we take with us everywhere. I think a really good example of that, just this past August, I had a couple of weeks of a vacation. Had just transitioned into my new pastoral role of pastor of all those five institutions and structures that you had mentioned, after
Otherwise
having
known
been
as parish family number 34, right?
34. Yeah, it sounds so mechanistic. But after having been at St. Pius for 11 years, so a very different way of being a priest. So after kind of moving here, kind of settling in, after about a month and a half, decided to take a couple of weeks on vacation. So went down to the promised land, of course, is Mexico.
Nice.
And in that time, I was able to take the 8-day annotated spiritual exercises retreat.
Oh,
And
wow.
in southern part of Mexico City, there's a Jesuit center there, called Centro San Javier, Saint Xavier, and they really kind of specialize in the 8-day annotated retreat, and might have about two per month, actually. And of course, that is entering into the spiritual exercises of Saint Ignatius of Loyola, and a whole lot of things we could talk about there, but at the heart really is about discerning the spirits, right? Learning to discern the spirits of the and the voices, the inspirations of the evil one and of the Lord and our own personal inspirations and learning how to read the signs of the spirit, how the spirit reveals itself to us each day and going through those spiritual exercises and certainly coming into a deeper relationship with Christ and a greater sense of the mission that we have. But really at the heart of it's a mystical contemplative journey that's filled with the Holy Spirit from beginning to end. So for me, moving into that space of 8 days of silence and dialogue with the Lord in that contemplative space, having had the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and having those gifts unlocked with me and that deeper awareness, I feel I was very well equipped to enter into that space and actually deepen the experience that I had back in high school of the Holy Spirit and recognizing, the spiritual warfare, which again is at the heart of the exercises. Remember that towards the end of the exercises, you have the meditation of the two flags, right? Where you sort of imagine yourself in this huge field and you have this immense army of the evil one on one side, and then this immense army of Christ on the other, and you're sort of in the middle of this field, and you're sort of envisioning this battle, which is ongoing and about to really commence in a big way. And you have to make a choice, like which flag are you going to fight for? Which flag are you going to stand under? And so that sense of discernment and the Holy Spirit is an instrumental part of that process.
Amen. Father, again, I'm talking with Father Cal Christensen about the event coming up this Saturday, which is a Glow with the Spirit, and it's the 47th anniversary of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And the organization that has fostered this Catholic Charismatic Renewal movement in Western Washington called WWCCR, it's happening at 12:30 praise and worship, 1 o'clock mass. Father Cal is going to be celebrating in the homilies, followed by dessert at 2. The event is free and open. And here's why I want you to consider going, right? If you haven't had a chance to access the renewal, maybe you have and you have and you want to come back and get a time of refreshment and fellowship. Father, we've talked about two areas where the renewal has played a meaningful role in the past 4 decades. So when I think about the idea of discerning your sense of call to be a saint and then gifted for mission, gee, there's been a called and gifted set of workshops and trainings and initiatives that have come through Catholic Charismatic Renewal, through WWCCR over the course of 20 years, right? Sherry Waddell from this area was the founder of this. And then in so many ways, Western Washington was so blessed by those events, the called and gifted workshops. And then I think about spiritual warfare. Well, how do you get beyond both the unbound ministry that has happened in Western Washington to help bring people to places of deliverance from demonic influences in their lives, as well as healing, right? The number of healing masses and equipping people to move in the gifts of healing today to show that Jesus continues to manifest and demonstrate his kingdom through signs and wonders and deeds of power, that it advances the gospel, it introduces people to the truth and power of the gospel. And I think about, how does the Lord renew his church? Well, it's through saints and through movements of saints who are moving. And so I want to go to that dimension of healing. So we've talked a bit about already equipping. We've talked about setting free. Now, what about this idea of anointing and releasing healing to help restore what people have lost? There's so many dimensions of healing that have literally been poured into Western Washington because of the renewal. Just talk about the importance of healing in our life of faith and how we're all called to be open to receive what the Lord is ready to give.
A beautiful question, Tom. Thank you. I think, immediately I just think of the unity of the human person, right? That we're all composites, body, mind, and spirit, right? And I think, given that the kind of what we call like Christian anthropology, we're much more to us than just matter, right? There's that soul, that spiritual dimension, that psychological dimension, and certainly that physical dimension, body, mind, and spirit. And I think, when you study the life of Jesus, you really dive in into the Gospels, you really see how and why Jesus treated people in the way that he did, the constant sense of mercy. And mercy at the I think at the heart of mercy is healing, right? It's mercy is healing. When we are truly merciful, it entails healing. And I think diving into Jesus's ministry, all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see that sense of mercy, that where John says the letter of John, that God is love, and Paul's letters tell us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And so every thought, word, and deed that Jesus performed, communicates that, that love of God in so many different ways. And so, of course, healing is an integral part of that ministry, right? It's those innumerable healings, physical healings, the paralytics, the blind, the mute, etc. But of course, we remember that those healings were just really meant to be signs of a greater healing, which of course is the spiritual healing, the forgiveness of sins, the release of demons. I love that one of my favorite scenes from the Chosen series, right? The first season is that beautiful encounter of how they portrayed Mary Magdalene. Really scary, I think, at the very beginning. Remember when one of the Jewish authority was trying to rid those demons from her, and that inability, but yet Jesus says that word, and beautiful. But I think, and you see within her life, that release, that healing that occurred, and how that was turned into radical discipleship and following, to be the first to see the resurrected Christ and to be a witness of that. And so I think, healing is an integral part of the life of Jesus and his ministry, and how that was passed on to his disciples. Remember in the Acts of the Apostles, right? Following Pentecost, people would place their ill on the street so that just the shadow of Peter would go over their the sick, and they would be healed. Just being touched by the shadow of Peter, there was healing. And of course, in the Acts of the Apostles, so much healing, physical, spiritual healing. And of course, the Acts of the Apostles is that first important chapter of the church, and we are the Acts of the Apostles, the continued chapter today. And so healing is an integral part of our lives. And I think, we all come, to the renewal. We all come to our faith, with a need for healing. We're sinful beings. We need that the healing first of original sin, of baptism, and we're healed of that, and healing of sin through the forgiveness of sins. But also, I think through the charismatic renewal, I think to show that in addition to those essential healings, right, of forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of original sin, the Lord also wants to heal us in different ways. And I think that's why we have so many, just countless physical, spiritual, emotional healings that have occurred within the 47 years of the charismatic renewal here in the Northwest.
Absolutely. Yeah. Father Cal, I love what you're saying there. And I know that like some folks are listening and I know you've heard, brothers and sisters, that, the Lord heals today, and that sacraments involve healing, especially the healing sacraments, confession and anointing of the sick. But confession as a healing is a powerful and beautiful vision, Father. I think that a lot of folks can be held back by thinking, oh, the ordinary way that the Lord heals today is through medicines and doctors. And we're not creating, and you're not talking about some either or. Well, either you go to the doctors or you come to the church and we'll lay hands on you and you'll be healed. I think that it's a more nuanced and a more powerful thing than that. Brothers and sisters, please, yes, access doctors and medications and treatments and therapies and all those other things. And yet at the same time, why leave the Lord on the sidelines? Why leave the Lord to only be working through vessels that are associated with science and medicine, as powerful and important as they are, why not be open to the Lord moving in the ways that he did in the scriptures, he did in our tradition, and he did in very special and in like visible ways through the lives of saints? Why would we want to miss out on coming into experiences that will free us from, I mean, Father, think about it, like anxiety, depression, loneliness, feeling overwhelmed by financial challenges, societal challenges, relational challenges, and to think that the Lord has power to move in this regard, to meet our very need when we trust Him, when we give Him space. Father, I'd love for you to just encourage folks who are out there and who may be thinking, you know, the only access I can get is human level, human means of access, rather than, you know, that there's the divine Lord is a divine physician in your regard. I'd love for you to speak from the heart around that, especially in like instances that you have seen and witnessed to yourself, where people, it dawns on them, whether it's at a retreat, like one of the powerful things that WWCCR, Western Washington Catholic Charismatic Renewal, does is women's retreats, right? And they've done them for decades, and people come away and they get away from their daily lives, and all of a sudden they're opened to a touch of the Lord that's deeper and more profound and more life-giving than they've ever known before. I'd just love for you to kind of just give a testimony to that. I think it has so much credibility when a priest talks like this about the healing touch of the Lord.
Yeah. Gosh, it's not just Tom. I think thinking about one, it's just there's so many. So it's really sort of going through my mind right now. Just so many
Isn't that
healing.
powerful though? Huh?
I mean, my goodness. I think just there's two. I think that would come to mind. I think just the most recent, and they happen to have happened within the Hispanic community. And I had this when I was doing my doctoral studies, or the residency of doctoral studies at Boston College a couple of years ago. I had a chance to come back home and assist with a what comes in Spanish, the Seminario del Espíritu Santo, which is a kind of a traditional life in the spirits weekend seminar. Retreat, and it goes Friday to Sunday, and it was just a real blessing to be able to fly back and accompany the community in that retreat. And we had about amazing, I mean, about 60 individuals who were going through the about maybe closer to 80 that were going through the life in the spirit, that were coming to be initiated into the life of the spirit. Amazing. And I mean, just even returning to that experience, I just overwhelmed, just with the healings, body, mind, and spirit. People being released of spiritual bondage of spirits. Of course, I'm not talking about possession, but just we're talking about spiritual bondage. Possession, that's a whole nother thing. But it, so many stories of just outpouring of God's love, of people experiencing love which is not of this world. And I think that's the most important thing with this, is that the spirit in some ways makes that great love. When when we intellectually know that God is love, we can read, we can believe that, but that love becomes real, concrete, in the moment, in the right now. And people experience that, and it's overwhelming, overwhelming, and it changes everything. So seeing that accompanying those beautiful individuals on that weekend was, I think, something very powerful and impactful for me, helping to facilitate that. I think more closer to home, I work pastorally with one of our local charismatic prayer groups over at Sacred Heart. It's called the Buen Pastor, the Good Shepherd. And they've been a prayer group there that's in Sacred Heart for a number of years. And once a month, we have sort of a healing mass the first Friday of the month. And there is an individual, kind of a middle-aged guy, professional. I could kind of describe him. I think a faithful But I think carrying a lot of weight, a lot of anger, a lot of resentment on his shoulders through a lot of unfortunate things that had happened to him. And he came to that one of the healing masses that we had recently, and I saw him, and something like visibly happened. Something happened to him, weeping and just really overcome. And I had a chance to talk with him, and I can tell you his eyes were different, his face was different, his bearing was different. And there was a profound healing, because I can't get into everything, but there was a profound healing. All those resentment and that anger and all those things that he was carrying on his shoulders was all released, and he is transformed. There's a whole new way of living his faith now, and that happened. And so those kind of experiences, Tom, are a weekly part of my priesthood. Thanks be to God.
And you know what? It's like, as shocking as the story is, it's almost the last sentence you just said that is shocking, right? That is an ordinary occurrence, right? Supernatural breakthroughs that are setting people free in dimensions of their lives that they couldn't imagine possible. They didn't even know were necessary. And all of a sudden it happens to them. Oh yeah, that's ordinary ministry in the life of Father Cal Christensen. That's beautiful. I love that. It's amazing, right? It's the kingdom of God alive, breaking into our
Amen.
moment. I want to end on this particular one, Father, as we're finishing up, the power of getting together with others, right? So we can talk about the gift of the Spirit and pray for a deeper release of the Spirit in our own homes, in the quiet of our own prayer, through our own devotions, and the Lord, without question, works through those things. But talk about the power of gathering together with others, like for instance, this Saturday before Mass, there's praise and worship. To be able to come together and gather for a half an hour, 12:30, come and sing to the Lord with full voice, using your body, your physicality to cry out to the Lord with others, with jubilation and enthusiasm in songs of praise, right? That can again seem so, you know, foreign or awkward for many, but then through the gift of the Spirit coming alive, this openness to pray and praise together, and then that sense of expectant faith, right? Faith multiplies as others come together, and in faith, with expectant faith, it carries us along, and so there's such a power in the body of Christ coming together to worship, to praise, to celebrate Mass, to engage in the charismatic realities. Just talk about the power of fellowship in community.
Yeah, another great question, Tom. Thank you. Yeah, you know, when you dive into our faith was never meant to be lived alone. You know, I think in the United States we have a this kind of sense of personal autonomy. Like, we really prize that in so many different ways. But really, personal autonomy, I think, is a great enemy to our Catholic faith, and to Christian faith in general, because we're not meant to be autonomous Christians, right? And that's completely foreign, I think, to what Jesus intended to start with the church. And so, you know, you go to Acts chapter 2, you know, verse 42 to 47, I believe. You know, that communal life of the church, you know, that the description of the early Christian community and that joy that community elicited in the area, and how the Lord added daily to their number because of that joy. You know, Saint Paul, you know, he didn't travel around the Mediterranean region, you know, forming a Christian gurus to live on their own, to be sources of wisdom for their communities. He formed communities, Christian communities, right? And wrote letters and helped to grow them and help to form them, you know, through his letters. You know, Christian community is the essence of our faith, and I think that's an unfortunate, you know, consequence of the COVID era. You know, and still sort of, I think there's some residuals there for some of us. But we're meant to be in community, and I think when we're part of a community of of Catholic Christian communities outside of Mass. I think that community at Mass, Sunday Mass, is the essential. That's like the bread and the butter, or I can say the rice and beans, if you're or tamales and whatever, that's the basis of our faith. Absolutely. But I believe we need more. We need meaningful small communities that we can be a part of, that can where we are accountable and we help other people to be accountable to the faith. But I think most importantly, that is within the context of community, where the true joy of the Lord is found and expressed.
Yeah, amen. Father Cal, I want to really appreciate and I got to respect your time because you're coming to the end of your availability here. I just want to give you a last word to share an invitation to folks to come out to the Glow with the Spirit event. Starts at 12:30 with some praise and worship mass at 1 o'clock. You're the celebrant and homilist, and then 2 o'clock is a time of fellowship and dessert. What, give them why do they want to come? What would be your final word of encouragement to them?
Yeah, I think to come first and foremost, I think because we need community. We need to be together. We need to be in community. So if there's kind of a selfish motivation, great, please come for that reason. Absolutely. And also because 47 years of the charismatic renewal present in the Northwest is a huge milestone. So celebrating that legacy, so especially if your life has been touched in some way by the Western Washington Charismatic Renewal, I think that is a wonderful way to come back and to celebrate that together in community. So I think those are maybe two things to consider, among others, our own need for joy, our own need for community, but also to celebrate, 47 years of the renewal in the Northwest. So that'll be here again, as you said, at All Saints Parish in Puyallup, beginning at 12:30 and praise and worship and 1 p.m. Mass.
And for more information, I'll give that after Father Cal leaves us for now. Father Cal, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today. And happy feast day when we're
Thank you.
in recording this. It's beautiful. I have a blessed time tonight at your event.
Saint Martin of Tours, pray for us.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Father
Thank you for
Cal.
the opportunity, Tom. God bless you. Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Thank you. Well, that was great having Father Cal Christensen on. We are here talking a bit about anniversaries, right? So this is the 47th anniversary of Western Washington Catholic Charismatic Renewal here in Western Washington. And for me, that's the gift of movements, right? What's a movement? A movement is one of those ecclesial realities. What's an ecclesial reality? It's a reality that is associated with the church, which is the body of Christ, the continuation of Christ on earth. It's the way that the kingdom of God takes flesh in this world is in the church. And Jesus established the church. He poured his spirit down upon the church. And in various ages, the Holy Spirit has stirred movements, stirred lay people, bishops, priests, religious, to live the life of faith, to live our lives as disciples in a particularly intense way, a more intentional way, a more extensive way. And so the Catholic Charismatic Renewal is an example of a movement. I was talking with a fellow on Saturday. He is involved in Catholic radio, not in Sacred Heart Radio, but involved in Catholic radio. And he said, yeah, I was at a group reunion. I was at one of my Altrea groups for Curcio. I said, Curcio, is that still around? And he said, yeah, absolutely. In his part of the country, it's still going well. And his group has been meeting. He made his Curcio about 15 years ago. And I said, wow, De Coloris. De Coloris is how you greet someone who has made a weekend. Which is the, sort of the Curcio, the key event is this weekend. It's not quite a retreat, but it's a getaway where there are talks and discussions, conversations, prayer, Mass, the sacraments, it's a pretty intensive and extensive thing. And what it does is it covers these core themes in the life of faith, and it tends to wear you down. It tends to break you down. And in the midst of all of that, it tends to then open you up to the Lord coming close. And so one of the follow-ups from one of these weekends is that you'll get together, you'll Altreia, you'll do this further group, this follow-up group, and you'll reflect on piety, study, and action. He actually referred to the three legs of the stool, piety, study, and action. And they'll check in with each other on how they're doing, how are things going. And so Curcio was a group that began in Spain. I believe it began in the 40s after the Second World War. A priest started it there as a, here's the word, movement. It was a means of helping the faithful in his parish to be able to live their lives as disciples with a greater sense of intentionality. We can be more intentional about this, and this movement becomes a help to be able to say, you know what, we don't have to figure it all out. We don't have to figure out among our group, how are we going to grow in faith today? No, the movement becomes a very powerful way of saying, you know what? We're looking to the scriptures, we're looking to the Catholic tradition, we're looking to the lives of saints and the great spiritual inheritance that we've received and the writings and the wisdom of the magisterium and then the lives of saints and see what they have grown around them, like religious communities and religious orders and monasteries and convents. And we can draw things out from that and we can live that. We can implement that. And so movements have been used by the Lord, stirred by the Spirit, to be able to help the church in her institutional life be able to experience an impulse of vitality, an impulse of vibrancy. Now, did you hear that phrase I just said? The church in her institutional life? That is a phrase that I'm borrowing from a word that was used by Father Christensen. Father Cal talked about institution and spirit. And Hansers von Balthasar, that great theologian from the last century, said that one of the greatest sources of anemia in the life of the church today, and he was writing this back in the 70s, was this separation between institution and spirit, those two dimensions of the church. The institution would be things like the hierarchy, right? The organization into offices and so bishops, priests, deacons, and parishes, and so all of these structures, and therefore also the things that these structures accomplish, not just administration, but also the sacraments. And so you have all of that, let's call it the ecclesiastical and ecclesial machinery that keeps the church moving forward. But just doing that stuff doesn't mean that there is life communicated with great vitality and vibrancy and missionary zeal. It's not guaranteed. One of the things that I'll say to my kids is that Mass isn't magic. Mass isn't magic. It's not, well, if we get the kids to Mass, all of a sudden it's going to work. It's not the same as, for instance, well, throw the dirty kid into the bath or into the shower and they're going to get clean, right? Just the very act itself is going to put them in water and wash, stuff will wash off of them. That's not exactly like the Mass. In fact, going to Mass has a bit more of a dramatic aspect to it because there are moments of grace that are opened up. There are, let's call them spiritual requirements, personal commitments involved. When you're at Mass, the Lord be with you and with your spirit. Lift up your heart. We lift them up to the Lord. Wait a minute, hold on. Are you really doing that? And so together we pray, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Wait a minute, are you really crying out to God that the Lord is holy? Right? So movements are those cooperative, collaborative, running alongside, concurrent dimensions in the life of the church where the Holy Spirit's at work. And so I share that with you because the most natural thing for us, the default setting, if you will, for so many of us Catholics, is to focus on the machinery, to focus on doing Catholic stuff, trying to live in Catholic ways, trying to believe Catholic things. All of those things are, guess what, fundamental, foundational, important, not to be left behind. However, we need, we must have, it is a necessary requirement that doing those things also has a heart, has a soul, has a spirit that is alive, that is vivifying, that is supernaturally enlivening. And that's where these movements can play such an important role. And so for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, it's the Life in the Spirit seminar. It's the prayer groups. It's the conferences. It's the healing masses. There we go. It's the retreats. All of these things have become wonderful ways for stirring into flame the gift of the Spirit, stirring into flame the personal Pentecost of the Catholic believers. Well, I hope and pray that that was a blessing to you. I know that the renewal has been a great blessing to me, and I hope you'll go on Saturday if you're in Western Washington. God bless your day.